Josh Bornstein is a prominent Melbourne lawyer, free speech advocate and Jewish Australian. He's against the visit. Jeremy Liebler, whom you'll hear later, also a lawyer, is president of the Zionist Council of Australia. First, though, Josh Bornstein.
I think the major issue is that although the Prime Minister has made clear that the invitation was to be above politics and was to try and promote healing, the presence of the President of Israel at this particular time is going to have the complete opposite effect. It will be a lightning rod for disagreement, dissent. I fear it will, rather than assist the fight against anti-Semitism, it will damage that fight.
The government says that President Herzog is going to bring a measure of comfort to Australia's Jewish community. Josh, I have absolutely no doubt that you were as repulsed and as mournful and as angry about the Bondi massacre. I have no doubt about that. In fact, you've said that there's been an appalling rise of anti-Semitism. Why don't you just say, look, I don't like Herzog's politics, but if it brings some comfort to an aggrieved, grieving community, just let it be.
As you say, the Bondi massacre was sickening. It sickened me literally. I can't put it any more bluntly than that. But what the invitation does is ask us to engage in a remarkable act of cognitive dissonance, to pretend that Israel has not obliterated Gaza, crushed Gaza, and whether you use the word genocide or not, the numbers are staggering. The suffering is extraordinary. The bombing and military campaign has been pitiless. What this visit does is ask all of us to pretend none of that's happening, to pretend the bombing isn't still occurring, to pretend that the Palestinian babies are not still dying, so that the president, who has himself been cited by the International Court of Justice in connection with charges of genocide that have been brought, can come to Australia and provide comfort to those impacted by Bondi. This does not comfort many Jews. It appalls many Jews. The Jewish community is not a monolith. It is made up of a huge variety of different types of Jews, secular, religious, Zionist, anti-Zionist, post-Zionist, with a great range of views, many of whom are very, very upset that a man accused by, at the very highest levels of our international legal system, of inciting genocide, and who is the president of a country facing the most serious charge that can be laid under international law of genocide, is here at this time.
But they remain accusations, though, Josh. I mean, you are a very formidable and respected lawyer. I have no doubt that in your long career you have asserted the principle of innocence until proven guilty, and they remain unresolved accusations. And Herzog says his comment was taken selectively. He also pointed to other comments where he said there are many, many Gazans who oppose Hamas, who are opposed to what's happened.
I agree that the principles you invoke are important. At the same time, there can be no more serious crime than genocide. A United Nations Human Rights Council Commission of Inquiry has found that Herzog did incite genocide. Although it's not a binding legal decision, it's very important. There is an overwhelming consensus of genocide scholars who now say Israel has engaged in genocide. And putting aside the G word, there is no doubt there has been massive loss of civilian life in Gaza, and that suffering that is continuing is unimaginable, with human rights organisations not being able to provide aid and continue being blocked. These are all very serious matters. We cannot just simply look away and pretend none of this has happened.
We can't look away, can't we, though, look at it in a more nuanced way? Can't we look at Herzog's history as someone who has been committed to a two-state solution? In fact, perhaps his position as president is effectively powerless, but can't we look at his history as someone who has been involved in dialogue, who has been involved in reconciliation? Because that appears to be what the federal government has done. They don't step back from the positions they've taken on recognising a Palestinian state, which have angered Herzog and particularly Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, but they've also seemed to be able to accommodate Herzog's past as someone who has been more committed to reconciliation. Can't we look to that as well?
Again, you're asking us in the community to cherry pick, because Herzog was invited on the 23rd of December by the Prime Minister. One day earlier, the Israeli Security Cabinet endorsed the establishment and recognition of 19 new settlements in the West Bank, illegal settlements. Herzog himself has supported the settlement project and now considers it crucial to Israel's security. He's on the record supporting the expansion of settlements. So whatever his past may be, what we are now dealing with is his conduct much more recently, and which is being considered by the International Court of Justice and has already been condemned by a United Nations Special Commission of Inquiry. We shouldn't be asked to pretend to look away, to simply disregard these acts that are an absolute offence to anyone with any sense of morality and pretend they simply haven't happened. They have happened. When Hamas launched its terrorist attack on civilians in Israel on 7 October 2023, I was then a two-state solution Zionist. I believed that there should be two states. I no longer know what I think. The notion that there will be two states is over. Israel has put paid to any notion of two states. Israel's expansion of control into the West Bank, its expulsion, which continues every day, which Herzog will be here, has rendered that aspiration entirely impossible and irrelevant. For many Jewish people, we are seeing that possibility, the possibility that Palestinians may live in equality and with dignity, completely being annihilated by the acts of Israel. And we are asked to pretend that all hasn't happened, to turn away from it, to turn away from morality and live an entirely different world for the purposes of this visit. That's not possible for many people in the Jewish community, and I don't think it's possible for most of the Australian community.
Yeah. Isn't it possible, though, to look at it this way, that Herzog still represents a Jewish state, and that Jewish state, with all its failures, acknowledged failures, even by strong Zionists, is still supported by 86% of Australian Jewry, according to Monash University surveys. I acknowledge that there is a wide variety of opinion in the Australian Jewish diaspora. Many of those people have been on this program. But it'd be a stretch to say that most Australian Jews do not feel some affinity with, at the very least, the idea of the State of Israel. And maybe that's all Herzog represents, just that idea of the State of Israel. And maybe in its original conception of 1948, which was a state for all its citizens, it may have evolved into something harsher since then. But isn't that really what Herzog's visit could represent?
It's very difficult to generalize about the Jewish community because of its incredible diversity. But I will say this about it. There is now more than ever a schism in the Jewish community between those who would advocate, I think in fanatical terms, for blind loyalty and blind adherence to supporting Israel, regardless of its conduct, regardless of the way it has treated the Palestinian population. That schism now operates on at least three levels. There's a generational divide. I think as younger Jewish people in the Australian community are rebelling against what they were taught at school, what they were taught at home, what they were taught at synagogue if they went to synagogue. There are those like me who aren't of the younger generation, but who took the lesson of the Holocaust never again as a lesson of universality. And as I said, there are pro-Israel lobbyists who are very successfully getting their way by applying pressure, whether it's to universities, to arts organisations, to musical companies, or even in this case, to the federal government. The common theme when those organisations apply the pressure is that the organisation that succumbs ultimately does something perverse. So that's why you find newspaper outlets or media outlets censoring staff. That's why you find arts organisations engaged in censorship. And in this case, unfortunately, the federal government has succumbed to that sort of pressure and invited someone accused of inciting genocide at a time when the Prime Minister has been very firm about a number of things. One, that we need to promote social cohesion. Two, we need to adhere to the rule of law. And three, he has just recently sought from the Parliament the introduction of a new law criminalising incitement of violence against a group based on race. How are we to regard all of those worthwhile commitments from the Prime Minister in light of the photo opportunities that are now going to be shared between himself and the President and the Governor-General and the President of Israel?
Yeah, but there'll still be photo opportunities with the leader of a government, in this case Australia's government, that has recognised a Palestinian state and has been very critical of Israel's conduct of the war. It will still be a government that doesn't resile from those criticisms, and yet, as a gesture to an aggrieved, wounded community, has said we will welcome the President of Israel. I mean, these things can be held in tension, can't they?
They can be held in tension, but if the Prime Minister was to publicly condemn what has happened in Gaza and the West Bank, was to publicly challenge Israel about these matters during this visit, then perhaps you could hold them in tension, perhaps. I still find it difficult to conceive of Prime Minister Albanese meeting with the head of Iran. Israel is now a pariah state, other than...
Yeah, but there's a way, but it's
a handful of countries, including the US, that provide support to it.
Yeah, look,
it
just
is,
yeah, but just finally,
a state around the world.
Yeah, just finally though, Josh. I mean, that is a bit of a stretch. You can't get rid of the government in Iran. It is conceivable that not only will Benjamin Netanyahu's government be defeated democratically, a court may send Benjamin Netanyahu to jail. I mean, this is inconceivable in Iran. That is a bit of a stretch.
There is an acknowledged retreat from democracy in Israel, an attempt by the Israeli government to overturn the independence of the judiciary. There are serious and credible allegations about torture that is routinely inflicted on Palestinian prisoners. Again, you are requiring me to disregard the conduct of Israel in the West Bank and Gaza, which has no place in a democracy. I don't accept that Israel is a healthy democracy, and you have far more faith than me in what might happen at an election, because Israel is in rapid retreat from its democratic past.
Josh Bornstein is a lawyer. He's also the author of a new book. It's called Working for the Brand, How Corporations Are Destroying Free Speech. Josh, thanks for joining us on the Religion and Ethics Report.
Much appreciated. Thank you.
And you're on ABC Radio National with me, Andrew West.
It's easier than ever to hear your favourite local and national ABC radio stations, live and on demand on the ABC Listen app.